start with today's message. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together, Lord, that you are with us, your Spirit is with us, and help us to understand and receive your word if we are open to you. We are willing to listen. We are, Lord, responding to what the word says. We just thank and praise you, Lord, in advance for the thing you're going to do today, Lord. And, Lord, open our heart to you. Lord, help us, Lord, to break through. Help us to understand. Help us to receive wisdom and revelation that we can only receive through your word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Okay, maybe see if today we can wrap up this series on Jesus' prayer. You know, it's interesting that you don't often hear this prayer used to teach people how to pray. This is John chapter 17. This is when Jesus left. Okay. And then there is a reason for that. There is a reason, because what it says there is too much to believe for most believers. It doesn't line up with the theology that most of the people have, that is circumstantial theology, is not based on the word, is based on their experience. Hear what Jesus gives us personally as he closes his ministry, the very, you know, just before they took him. You know, give us clear instructions, very specific things for us to understand and to know. And you know, and as I've been preaching this, you know, I really found out that possibly some of my theology expanded from what it was before. This is, you know, a very important series of teachings, and I hope you go through them again, try to understand, because each time I read again chapter 17 of the Bible, John, the Gospel of John, I get new things. After having prepared all this last night before going to bed, I read it again, got new stuff. Because there is so much that we need to understand, so much that we need to receive, so much that we have to break loose from men's ideas and limitations in our thinking and our mind, that we have to keep reading it, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, expecting the Holy Spirit to reveal to us things. Okay. This has changed, you know, some of my understanding and theology. Okay. The thought, you know, teaches how to pray for the way Jesus did. And that is not the normal, the Lord's Prayer that they do. It is actually a prayer, Old Testament prayer. That's completely new, completely different. This is a New Testament prayer, based on completely different basis. It's for actually New Testament believers. Mm. Fact is, much of the church is still in the Old Testament. Hasn't caught up with what Jesus has done. Now, see, we had to learn from his example. That's what he came to for us. We had to learn, you know, to see how to pray for ourselves and for others. Okay? We had to really, the objective, all the thing, the reason why he came, for us to become like him. To be transformed. This is a transformation series that actually I will put together. And I really think that there is going to be making enormous difference if we start grasping, okay, what God wants to achieve in us, which is our union, our fellowship, our relationship with Him in a much deeper way than we ever thought possible. Okay? So we started. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to point out some things that are the key points and then go to expand toward the end of the message. Yeah. In John 17:6 says, I have manifested your name to the man whom you have given to me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Okay. So this is talking about the disciples. Okay? The disciple, we are going to expand on that. But the disciple is not just somebody that calls himself a Christian. A disciple is somebody that is open heart to listen to the word of God. Is somebody that is learning and continue to learn all the time. It's not that, oh, I know that. No, there is something that we have to keep learning until we meet Him. Okay? Learning all the time. And are committed to the process of growing and learning in the Lord. Okay? Those are the disciples. Otherwise, we don't qualify as disciples. And said, you know, the one who you have given me. See, the thing is that we are really, the real disciples are the ones who are really in connection with God. Into a, they were open to God, and they are, you know, and God, you know, God allowed him to interact with them and to minister to them and to expand the understanding and their knowledge. Be their example and is their teacher. Okay. And so they say, you know, and you gave them to me, they were yours. See, people to be open, to hear about Jesus in the right way, not in the religious way, as to already have a certain openness and connection and desire to hear the truth. Otherwise, they're going to listen to the usual religious stuff that is going to close them from the ability to grow, because they're going to be stuck in the past. Christianity is not something that is stuck in the past. It changes, it grows in us and in general in the world all the time in understanding as Jesus' approach of second coming get closer and closer. And the understanding that we have today, for those who have that understanding, is much clearer than it's ever been by any of the big theologians of the past. Now, I'm going to continue the following verse. Now, they have known that all the things which you have given me are from you. So this is have known. The word known is dinosko. That means it's not just that they know up here. It's that they know experientially. They have the experience that everything that I'm teaching you, Jesus was saying, okay, is coming from God. And they know that. They know that I'm from you. They know that what I'm telling is the truth. And they don't know just because somebody gave a good speech. But they know it because they actually experience. And we're going to see some of the experience that they should have experienced that time. Okay. So, okay, the believer know that Jesus was sent by God. The believers know and understood his mission and his teachings. And he said, you know, they know it already. Do you? Do we know? And that doesn't come just by studying the Bible. That comes by applying and believing and trusting so that you actually experience what the Bible says you should experience.
Amen.
See, that is the major problem. That most of the people, you know, read the stuff in the Bible and they don't experience what it says there, so they change their theology to align up with their experience. That's not the way to get closer to God. That's not the way to get anywhere. The way we have to do is read something in the Bible that says, I believe that. Make sure you understand the problem. And if you are, you know, open, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you to give you revelation, to give you the understanding that you need, that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Again, you know, we can see the way is, you know, what even people in the New Testament prayed, which is always different from the past, because we have the Spirit of God inside us. Now, we continue. So continually, so how do they get this out in verse 8? For I have given them the word which you have given me, and they have received them and have known for surely that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. So you see, there is a question of assurance there, of conviction. That he is giving them, that was giving them the truth. Okay. Was giving them the truth that was coming from God, and that was it. So they weren't questioning about if the things were true or not. They weren't questioning if, you know, he was really a prophet or Samuel, or he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew there was the deliverer. Okay. So, see, they knew, they knew it experientially, because what he was teaching, they actually were experiencing and actually proving it in their own life. It worked. What Jesus says works 100% of the time. If there is this not working, there's something wrong with our understanding, is wrong and wrong with our beliefs. And we had to work that out. We had to understand why. Okay. Generally, it's because we believe our senses instead of believing what the Word of God says. And if you would operate that way, you are not in faith, and you are never going to experience what God said. That's what circumstantial theology is all about, which is not theology at all, it's man doctrines. Now, we continue. So, verse 9. Okay. Let's go back. The disciple of Jesus understood and believed the right thing. And because they understood and believed the right things, they actually experienced those things. They went around, Jesus said, you know, go heal the sick, raise the leper, raise the dead. That's what they experienced. So that's really, you know, some of the things that we should experience. So it goes on here. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those to whom you have given me, and they are yours. So you see, the fact that they are with Jesus or with the Father is the same thing. Okay. And he's praying not for the people in the world. Why? Because they are not open anyway. See, God doesn't give anything to somebody who doesn't want it. He expects our heart to be open. We have to be wanting the truth above everything. We have to be wanting to connect with God. We have to believe that God exists. We have to believe that Jesus was sent by God. We have to believe that He is the Messiah that is going to set us free from sin. If we don't, We are not going to get anywhere, and we are going to experience nothing. And if we don't experience, it's because we don't believe. Now, so wrong, you make me feel I have no faith. Or you don't, just the fact that you say that means you don't even know what faith is. Because our faith depends on us, not on God. And we have a part to play to make our faith grow. Our faith becomes lined up with the Word of God. You see, it's the Word that gives us the truth on which the faith is based. That means believing the Word is faith. Believing God is faith. But that's a decision we can't make. See, faith is a decision we make. And each one of us is called to make it by rejecting anything that is contrary to the Word of God and accepting everything and submitting unto Christ. Accepting what the Word says, casting down imagination and any high things that exalt itself above God's principles, laws. That's something that we have to do, that is not automatic. This is our path for us to be able to experience some of the things God has provided for us. All right? Now, verse 10. And all is mine. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So you see, Jesus was glorified. I was magnified the fact that they were ready to manifest the things that he was teaching and saying and explaining and developing in them. See, what we do that lines up with the Word of God, glorifies God. What we do, that magnify and demonstrate what Jesus said, glorify Jesus. Because it enables others also to see and understand and receive. Okay. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world. I was just still there, but not for very long. But these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, we hear people that interpret that all the time, that they will be one with one another. That's not what it's saying. What he's saying is that they may be one as we are one. What he's talking about is expecting, he's telling us that we should be one with the Father and with him the same way as he was together one with the Father. See, it's not a question of trying to get along with others. It's a question of getting along and connecting with God. Because when we are connected with God, there is not going to be any problem. The problem, our lack of unity, is not between us. Our lack of unity is with God. Because if we are all united with God, there's going to be no difference at all between us. Because God doesn't change. God doesn't have different theologies. God doesn't have different ideas. God has one, is always consistent with himself. So if we try to reach and work out that unity in the flesh or in the physical, we are never, never, never going to achieve it. And most of the people in the scripture misinterpret that completely. He's not talking about us being one with the other. If we are connected with God, there is no other way. You don't have to work the flesh difference You had to work your spiritual difference. And that has to do with the way you see God, the way you connect with God, and how if you are connected with Him at all or not. This is what Jesus came to achieve for us, so that we may be one with Him and with the Father. And He's explained over and over in these verses. Okay. Jesus is praying that we may have the same communion, the same unity that Jesus had with the Father. That's what He's saying. For example, this is not just a new idea that Jesus came about. It's in the Old Testament, in many places, including Psalm 91. Psalm 91 verse 14 says, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name." Okay? The word "He has known," again, is not just that you learn about Jesus or you learn about God and so on. The word is Yada. Yada means actually you experience unity. It's experiential knowledge. It's the fact that you know that you know that you know. Like two people coming together and getting married. And you are one in the flesh. Here you are one in the spirit. But it affects also the flesh, because the spirit is ruling in that case for that to take place. Okay. Says, because He has known my name. So the known my name is the inmost, my character, my characteristics, the way I work, who I am, what I am. So you know God. That's why you are going to be united with Him. So verse 15 says, "And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." This is coming straight from Psalm 91. See, many of the things that Jesus said here in these verses are not just new things. I've shown that before. Okay, these are things that are actually written in the Bible, they're written in the Word before, and Jesus was just bringing them up so that people will really focus on them and understand them and open themselves up to those truths that were being there all the time, but only very few experienced. And those that experienced it, what it says here, they will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be there in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will show him, with long life and satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Are you following me?
Yes, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants that to be manifested in us, that we come to that experience, that we don't talk about, we don't go to church to experience God. We have Him all the time with us because dwells in us. We are not there to wait for, a visitation. A visitation means that He comes and goes. He should be in us all the time. So that we are aware, not that we go around talking religion, but we are aware of His presence. We have a relationship with Him. We communicate with Him. He communicates with us the same way as Jesus did. You can see why something like that is not preached too many times. Because many of the preachers don't even experience that themselves. The idea, instead, this is what God expects from us, and this is what Jesus came to establish in us. And that's why at the end of His ministry, He's bringing it out so that we understand it, so that we remember, so that we don't forget. And the early church experienced exactly that. The thing is, after God deluded, God confused, God spread all over the place with people that didn't understand anything. And they start building up religion. But it's coming back.
Amen.
Christianity is not a religion. It's a living relationship with the living God. And we have to experience that, not just talk about it, not just, it's not a prayer you can join us with God. God present. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is doesn't stay in the tabernacle. We are the tabernacle. When we come together, the whole thing, the whole roof should explode. Because the whole thing should join together. That unity in the Spirit that we have with Him should automatically more than just make us one. Now, we continue. Are you still following?
Yes.
All right. Now, one of the results of this, what he's talking about, what I'm talking about, is what Jesus said that we should experience. One of the experiences we should have. Okay. Verse 13. But now I come to you, and, you know, these things I speak in the world, so that, you know, so that he was speaking them, so that they could hear, so that they could understand, that they could connect, they would be reminded. That they may have my joy. And my joy may be fulfilled in themselves. You see, when you get joy, John said it in God said it in John 16:24. Until now you asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. See, that's when you are going to experience joy. When you actually are going to get the result that God promises you. This is the source of the joy, that we get results. That we are not just talking to somebody that's not there. That we are talking to somebody that answers us and produces the result that we should be getting according to the word, not according to our idea. We have to line up with the word to see the manifestation. Okay. And this is God's design. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is where we get strength, momentum, ability to do things. Continuing, verse 15. And I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Okay, he wanted us to be here. But we should keep them from the evil one. So that's why he's praying. Jesus is praying that they will be kept from the evil one. If Jesus is praying that, we should believe that we are not going to go around paranoid about the devil getting after us, because God is with us and he promised here, and Jesus said it right here. So it's not a question of being afraid. You know, we should have no fear. Because if we are feared, that means that we are believing more the devil than the word. And the story that the devil tells people. Or religious people do. Whatever. Which is the same thing. Then goes on, 16. They are not in the of the world, but just as I am not of the world. So really saying, you know, they are not even of the world anymore. Just the same way as I am. So, you know, the fact that they were with him, the fact that they believed in him, the fact that they were standing in the place where he's standing, that was enough for them to be really separated from the world. And this is really, you know, the word sanctified. And he is saying the same thing. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. So you see, the word is the basis for everywhere and everything that we get. Right? And then says, you know, and they have to stick around. That's why I was asking for protection. You know, protection doesn't mean that everything is going to be all right, but the enemy is not going to affect them, is not going to make them confused, is not going to push them around. They are going to be stable in their position of faith and strength.
Amen.
All right? So, here it says there, you know, as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So you see, this is the mandate. We have the mission. Jesus' mission is our mission because he was living and he was giving us the mission. And it's not just a question to get people to church. It's a question of doing the same thing that he did. That means getting them to have the life of God inside, eternal life. A God presence, God's spirit in them. Operating, empowering them, ministering to them, making them grow the way they should. Be able to do the things that the Word said that, you know, he did, and even greater things. That's exactly, you know, I do not pray for them, but, you know, for them alone, but also from those, you know, that will believe in me through their words. So that applies to us. He wasn't talking about, like, lots of people teach, okay, all the power and the things of God were finished with the apostles, the disciples at the beginning. Here it said very clearly, anybody that believes in the same thing that they believe, what they taught there at that time, for this is going to be good forever, forever. The word of God doesn't change.
Amen.
That's nonsense. That's not Bible. We have to understand these things. Otherwise, we're going to be tossed around with every wind of doctrine. And we're not going to see the things that he promised we shall go to experience. See, he was came to us, okay, to show what communion with God produced in the life of people. He came limiting himself to us, to what we can do with the Holy Spirit in us. So that everything that he did, we should be able to do. And he said even more than that. He said, you know, the things that I do, you shall do also. The work that I do, shall do also, but even greater work than this, because I go to the Father. Okay? Why? You know? Well, because he had to go to the Father for that to happen. Because when he went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is in us, and operates in us the same way as operated in him. That's what it says in Acts 10:38. He went around doing good, and he all were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. So, this is what God expects from us. The same communion, the same fellowship between us. It's interesting. Us, the same fellowship that he had with the Father. There's not just one verse that is given us here, but more than one. Okay. Verse 21 says there, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Okay, one with who? One with the, with God. One with the Father. They may be one the same way as I am with you and you are with me. Okay. And also say that only time. Okay. So, that the world may believe that you sent me. Okay, because we are, you know, what he did, the change in us is produced. The result that Jesus produced in his life. That means includes the fact that we, okay, if we are disciples of Jesus, what's going to happen, you know, even today, we believe what Jesus believed, what the disciples believed, what they manifested. That includes miracles, gifts of the Spirit, power, okay, and eternal life. Mm. Eternal life, this is one of the topics, possibly, that for us is difficult to grasp the implication of what eternal life is. Eternal life, you know, we have eternal life no matter what. I mean, it's not that eternal life is, we live eternally no matter what. But eternal life is the life of God. Zoe is the life of God, okay, that involves what is life? Okay. The earthly life is the life that enables you to do the things that everybody can do. In the physical, maybe in the mental. There is nothing spiritual about it can come out from the normal life. The only thing that is spiritual is because we are connected with demons, and so those demons, you know, spiritually empower us to do things. But the eternal life that we are talking about is the life of God that involves the things that God can do. That means spiritual things, like healing, like manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, like things that are beyond the natural, they are supernatural. Jesus came to give us supernatural life. That's what it means. Not just the fact that we are going to go to heaven. If we have no supernatural life, we cannot go to heaven, period. We need to have that type of life inside ourselves to be able to go to heaven. Because that is the life that we get when we have communion with God. This is the life that God gave to Adam before he sinned. That he lost, and he died spiritually. And the thing was separated, severed from them. So, Jesus, okay, is our example. Okay. And with that, you know, come some explanation. For example, in verse 22. Verse 22 says, "And the glory which you gave me," what's the glory that Jesus is giving to Jesus? The glory they gave to Jesus was the things that he was doing. They were supernatural things. They were excellent. They were magnificent. You know, the healing, the old things, the understanding, the revelation, the things, the teaching. That was the glory. So say, "And the glory that you have given to me, I have given them." Hello? So, he gave us the same glory that he had when he was walking on earth.
Amen.
See, that's why. Why? Because he had eternal life inside before he started. When we get eternal life and we are born again, we should get the same manifestation in us. When our mind grasps that and start believing that and start agreeing with God and start aligning with that, so that our faith is operating what we believe we receive.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Let me continue this argument again, because it takes more than a month to really grasp this. That the glory which I have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And again, you know, may be one with who? With Him. With God. That's the unity that we have with God that is manifested on the results we get. Glory is nothing else. It's in Greek is doxa, which actually means supernatural manifestation and power manifested in the physical. And the way to get it is by being connected with God and Jesus. Then goes on, just Jesus is repeating himself. He's wanting to make sure that, you know, this slow thinking, you know, get catch up with it. He says, "I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one." See, he's talking about always that unity within. He's talking about our communion with Him. He's talking about the fact that we get together with Jesus. Jesus is connected with God. We are connected with God. And we are just all together. You know, really not the best, you know. Say, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's the question of jumping up and down. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
Are you still with me?
Yes, Master.
Okay. I and them, you and me, and them one with us. That's what it means. That means help all the disciples, not only the disciples, that the world may know that you have sent me and that I have loved them as, and you have loved them as you have loved me. So he's saying, you know, God loves them just as much as he loves me. Jesus. And people say, I don't feel the love of God. Hello? I mean, have you read what the word says? See, when we have experienced that communion, we are going to feel all the love, more love than you can ever imagine. Why? Because you start believing what he says, and you start manifesting the things that he says, and you start getting the result that you should expect, and you start, you know, and then you expect the right thing, not expect things, any crazy things that come to your mind. Because you are operating according to the word, not according to your ideas. Okay. That means, you know, what Jesus said that would happen to the disciples. Like in Mark 16, and this sign shall follow them to believe. In my name, you know, it goes on. You know, they cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They shall cast out serpent, you know, take up serpent and drink everything, and they will not understand. Are you still with me?
Yes, Pastor. See,
that's what produces the difference of our feelings. You know, and so the Lord, you know, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went forth, preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That has to do everything with the word. The word is doesn't change, it's always the same. This is why Jesus said, you know, the works you do, you know, you shall do both. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, there was, I want to, I'm skipping some things here. I want to read a couple of other things here. One of the things, you know, there was a final request that we can expect to happen. It's not fully fulfilled now. But everything else that I got up to here should be our experience now. Okay? Now, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. He's talking about where I'm going to be. So, that there is a place for us to be with Him in heaven. And that may behold the glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, what is he talking about here, this glory you give? He's not talking about the glory that we should be getting, the glory that was manifested in Jesus when he was on earth. The glory he's talking about is the glory that before came on earth. When he, you know, because when he came here, he gave up all the glory that he had. There was much more than what he got when he's operating there, because according to Philippians chapter 2, you know, he limited himself. We gave a sermon and obedient and everything else, but still the Holy Spirit was in there, was in him, just the same way as. So the glory that we are going to get experience now is not the glory that he had before, it's the glory that he had when he was on earth. The fact that what he has now is much more. It was the glory that he had at the beginning, when he put together the whole universe. As God spoke it, and he was the one operating, making it up. Are you following?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Let me continue here, and then I'm going to try to close this. O righteous Father, verse 25. The world has not known you. And the other word known is kinosko, it's not that they don't know that it's God, it's that you don't have an experience of God. But I have known you, and these have known you, and that I sent you. So we should have known God, experienced God, received from him. Number one. Okay. And I have declared, the word declare, I don't like it much because it's really a combination of two words in which part is ginosko. So, you know, as what it's saying is, I made known, okay, to them your name. Okay, what does it mean I made known your name? Well, you have known the name, your name is the fact that they had known what you do, what you have operated, the way you're going to react with them, the way you are going to interact with them, the result you're going to bring in their life, all the names of God. And he has revealed them to us. Okay. And will declare it that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. See, one of the results that happens when you start knowing God is that we know the love of God. That we, because we know the love of God, is because we experience God. We see in operation. We see, we get the result in that relationship. It's not just a theoretical thing, a one-way interaction. It's a two-way interaction. God working in us, and he working, you know, we working with him. And so this is what happens. That we are going to know how much God loved us, how much God loves us, how much, and that love that he has for us is the same love that he has for Jesus. Amen. You see, it's all talking about here is not theory, is not religion, it's talking about actually experiential knowledge of the reality of the dimension, the spiritual dimension in which we start living and interacting and having God working in us so that we are actually working like Jesus did. More on the spiritual dimension than the physical dimension. Why? Because we have eternal life. And eternal life is not working in the physical dimension, is completely spiritual. That's the life of God. That's the thing that God bred with his bread put into Adam, that Adam lost, but we should have now and should manifest itself with power, with knowledge, with abilities that otherwise people cannot have. Do you see the consequences of what Jesus was preaching and teaching and praying about just before closing his ministry? See, when we grasp and believe these things and start living them so that we know God, our life is going to be completely different. See, that's what took place when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples at Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit started revealing these things to them and started opening them up. But they knew mentally before, because Jesus had been teaching them all these things. But they couldn't grasp the spiritual content of these things, because our grasp mind is limited by the physical experience. If our mind operates on carnal knowledge, not spiritual knowledge. It's the Holy Spirit that has to give us the opening, the unveiling of these things. That's what I was talking about at the beginning, when, you know, even after I've been taught for 8 weeks or something like that, this topic, you know, and I read it again, I get new things, because the Holy Spirit opened up new things in my mind can overcome the limitation of the thinking that is based on our physical knowledge. And with that, I'm going to close. I hope you just listen to it again, to make some meditation on this, because that's what is going to make the difference. It's not just listening once, is by receiving from God and the Holy Spirit the unveiling of the truth, so that we can see beyond our limited sight. Let's pray together. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Thank you. For sending Jesus.
To provide for us.
Something.
Far beyond.
Any imagination. That we can have.
That only your word.
Can open our eyes.
So that we may see.
Receive. Understand.
Embrace.
And manifest.
Those things.
That you have given us.
We just thank you.
For your goodness.
And your mercy.
And your love.
And everything.
That you have demonstrated.
By sending Jesus.
Die for us.
So that we.
Can come into that experience of freedom.
Of life.
Of power.
Of communion
with you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.